This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, it's not often you get an opportunity to ask one of the best sports bettors on the planet a question, but we open it up on Monday to do so. So email us, sharpmoney@vsiN.com. His name, beyond compare, Steve Fezzik, two-time Super Contest winner, multiple contest wins, makes a career in Las Vegas as a sports bettor, and he joins us sitting next to Dustin Sweetelson, his best friend, at the D there in downtown Las Vegas, and right down the street, as we say hi to Fez, right down the street from where Bet Bash went down this weekend. And I know you were a popular figure over at Bet Bash, and that's where we're going to start today. Let's get a summary. How was your experience?
Oh, just phenomenal. Spanky does the best job putting together all the different seminars, something for everyone to attend if you want to just have fun, open bars every night, so many events, golf, poker. If you're a serious gambler, you can really, you know, dig into the weeds and pick the brains of some of the smartest people in the industry just across the board. I just don't know how people do it. It's like Disney, Patrick. It's a good plan. Get up early before the lines are long, and then stay late when the lines aren't very long either. Well, when you're drinking half the night, it's easier said than done, right?
And certainly the sports betting space is a mixture of personalities. I notice it appears you become close with a guy that literally just eats like Reuben sandwiches on Twitter.
Yeah, George, GRP wins. At GRP wins, we've been having like we've been having a rivalry and the like. And you know what? This happens all the time behind Twitter. So I made my peace with like Johnny over, Rob Pozzola's friend. So I guess now I just got to a couple other guys. If I meet him in person, we should be good. But George and I are buds. We were drinking at the Legacy Club. You know, we're looking around. We're trying to spot, you know, other folks there. But you know what? Derek Stevens has just transformed that town. It is just amazing to see him up at the Legacy Club. And whether you are a world-class sports bettor, gambler, bookmaker, or if you are just a guy like George from Chicago just hanging out, either way, he makes time for you. So great job by Derek.
Okay, so you buried the hatchet with a few people. And I'm going to set the number at 9.5. Patrick, you think over or under 9.5 people came up to Steve and said, you know what? I don't like you on Twitter, but you're a really nice guy in person.
Oh, well over.
What was it?
That's my imposter. my Twitter has been hacked. All right. So yeah, the truth is that, the Helmuth thing got to me for a little while. And part of it, to be fair, the internet is so full of misinformation. Like I was going in, I was like querying how to be like get really good statuses at the different casinos so you can park for free, get free stuff. And it is some of the worst information you will ever hear when it literally takes like 10 seconds. I can tell you, you know, get a credit card, get a better status without gambling, use the status matches to up your status, only play video poker when they have like tier credit 5 times, 10 times days, and you will get these upscale status levels. And there's people playing slots talking about how they're experts, Dustin, at becoming like an emerald, you know, status that have no idea what they're talking about.
See, he brushed right over it. So his Twitter is Fezzik Sports, 2 Z's and a K on Twitter. If you meet Steve in person, family man, caring, buy you a drink, just one of the nicest guys ever. If you see him on Twitter, he's going to troll the ass out of you. Like, that's just what he does. It must be like an alter ego, but you enjoy it.
And part of it is, you know, I'm the guy at the poker table. If like this happens sometimes, you get like a 2-5, no limit game. It's just a bunch of people having fun, a couple pros in there. And there's a guy on there who's picking on somebody at the poker table. He's like, he loses to a bad player. And to the bad player, he says, "Nice hand, sir." Translation, you're the biggest donkey of all time. I can't believe you like played the 3-6 of diamonds. And like that becomes my target. When a guy like that, and I'm like, you know what? I don't recall seeing you playing in the World Series final table this past year. I don't understand why. You're obviously a great player. You know, it's like, but point is that if you got a bad player at your poker table, why would you ever call him out for being a bad player? He's just having fun and it's helping you. It's actually helping you to win. Why would you be critical of that?
All right. Maybe you can help a national audience understand the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. Because I know a friend of mine like Vinny Maliulo over at the South Point who would tell me once a year he had to travel to New Jersey for the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. Then the Spankster came to Derek and they built a Sports Betting Hall of Fame there at Circa. I know there were luminaries, and you can tell us who, that were inducted. I saw Billy Walters there, which is a tremendous job. But help us understand the guidelines and what exactly are the differences between the two Sports Betting Hall of Fames.
I, frankly, haven't been following it closely enough, but I can tell you Spanky's Hall of Fame, if you ask anyone, you ask Kenny White, all right, any respected guy who's been around for a while. And Kenny is, like, I think, a great person to bounce this off because I was listening to a segment with you, Patrick, and pretty much 98% of what Kenny says I agree with, whereas a lot of other people, it's like 33%. I mean, he's got the power rating through the roof. So he was universally the most respected guy I knew of back around the year 2000. And to be careful, Roxy Roxborough, Don Martin, all these guys, absolutely right there. They just came before Kenny. But when the non-Spanky Hall of Fame has just a bunch of administrators that are fantastic at filling out forms for making sure you don't get sued as a sports book and the like. But in my, see, there's a precedent. There's a Poker Hall of Fame. You know who's in the Poker Hall of Fame? Guys like Phil Ivey and Phil Hellmuth and guys that are good at, you know, betting and making money playing poker. Not a lot of poker room managers in the Hall of Fame. Not a lot of poker administrators and poker chairpersons. Nolan Dalla should be in the Hall of Fame because he was tremendous as the World Series of Poker spokesperson for years. But my point is, there's just too many of these guys. Now, I mean, you know, certainly, you look over at all the people that are in. Jimmy Vaccaro, obviously, belongs. Chris Andrews belongs. Vinny Maliulo belongs. I'm not saying all these guys don't belong in the Hall of Fame, but some of these administrators, I mean, I go back to the movie Wall Street where Gordon Gekko comes and he's taking over Teledyne Paper and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, I've been spending the last 2 weeks analyzing these 22 vice presidents of your paper company in your Hall of Fame and I still can't figure out what the hell they do other than like push papers back and forth. No wonder your company's not making money. The point is there should be more bettors than there should be administrators. Case in point, I know he's a young man, Rufus Peabody. The guy bets like Dustin, he bets $5 million on every master. He's universally feared by all these sports bettors. Rufus is a guy that should be like, I guess he's still playing, to be fair. Like, he's so young. Maybe we don't put him in yet, but he's a slam dunk. But a guy, I've had a truculent relationship with him. It's my fault. I'm sorry. Like, Alan Boston belongs in any sports betting Hall of Fame just from what he did for years and years. He worked for the great Billy Walters. He was well-documented in the book by Millman, The Odds. Here's a guy, he has some Stu Unger tendencies, but he certainly absolutely belongs in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, don't fret, because since you can start one anywhere, I'm going to start another Sports Betting Hall of Fame in Hermosa Beach, and the three entries going in first will be Steve Fezzik, Rufus Peabody, and Alan Boston. Congratulations, Fez. You're in.
No. Put Alan in, because I understand that the older you are, the more likely. Dave Koken just passed away. He was universally respected, universally liked and loved in Vegas, and he's a guy, you know, that certainly belongs to be, you know, in there. But Mark Lawrence is a guy who's just been a tremendous asset for years and years and years. He belongs in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. There's so many guys, and I get it, rightly so, the industry doesn't like guys who are more, you know, guys who have, you know, sold their plays and been a tout. I get that, but there's still some that certainly belong.
Well, just quickly before we move on, would you like to shill for your guy that eats those club sandwiches, the GPR guy? Is he in the Hall of Fame?
He's a young man. Let's see what he can do over his next 5 years. And if you missed it on Twitter, my idea, if there's a scavenger hunt for Bet Bash, my idea is that George is uniquely looking. I want him to wear a disguise and hang out somewhere, probably would be a food establishment. So put him in Siegel's over in the El Cortez, or put him in the 1295 prime rib he found at Tony Roma's in disguise. First person to find him wins the scavenger hunt.
I think that sounds like a great scavenger hunt. Just an alternative idea, have a scavenger hunt trying to find a female.
Well, that group would have a long – we'd have to put a time limit on when the contest ends.
Well, I'm going to disagree, because they're – I got to give credit to all the gals that did go to Bet Bash. There's like 500 men and like nine women. So it takes some guts to like put up with some of these trash sports betting guys and how they are. And for the most part, you know, we have some very knowledgeable women in the workplace, and it was great to see, you know, that there being an actual panel of women in the sports betting place on Friday afternoon. I did miss it because I was just so shot from all the activities I had, and I was out late at the Legacy Club Thursday night. Thank you, Derek. You're the best.
And yeah, my assumption is the attendees of Bet Bash don't say the things to these females at Bet Bash that they say to them on Twitter, which is a contradiction. What did you say, big guy?
Yeah, well, I just think generally speaking to women in public is a difficult thing for most, but I understand. I'm one of those people as well. Not the easiest group. I did see someone tweet out, reminder, we're going to be in close proximity. Wear deodorant, shower, brush your teeth, use mouthwash. Because I think for the group, it's a good reminder.
Yeah, I think Tabitha is her name. She said, you know what? I want everyone to be on their better behavior poolside and what goes on in the pool. And reminds me of what? The Caddyshack with the famed baby Ruth, like getting dropped into the pool, always concerns one.
Oh, careful now. We're going to come back and discuss why, if you're a lifetime loser betting sports, you actually are uniquely qualified.
Whoa, losing them.
To make tons of money fairly effortlessly immediately. For those that don't know, I am playing injured. I have the flu. So bear with me, Steve Fezzik, and be nice to Dustin Sweetelson. We're back with professional bettor off of Bet Bash, Steve Fezzik next. I actually think what Steve just said during the break, it points to the sports bettor's temperament. So Fezzik, over the last, I guess, I don't know, maybe year and a half, was on, you know, kind of a health kick and got down to, what's the lowest you got down to?
193.2, but then I did blip to 188 when Wishnev was 1 pound away from me, and I panicked and like went a 10 miles and sweated out like 5 pounds in one day because I didn't want to lose the $10,000 I was about to lose. If he ever caught me, I owed him $10,000.
But you said that your stop loss, like if you see 200 or more on the scale, you do this. And I think this is a great strategy. Like, this is just shows, like, you just don't eat. You don't eat until you go below it.
It's like
you don't eat.
It's an emergency partners meeting. It's kind of like you didn't make your earnings report. So you know what? Now we've got to do drastic measures. And my drastic measure is whatever your weight is, 200, 220, 250, 300. And you say, if I ever go above 300, for instance, then I weigh myself every morning. And if I don't make weight, I don't eat. Just like that Indian wrestler in the Olympics, right? If she's willing to shave her head and everything else to try to make weight, you can do it. You know what? Believe me, there's plenty of pancakes stored in your midsection. Go ahead and just take the day off and just pound liquid, pound water. And I know that is what, everyone's different, but that's what works for me. 200 is my number. If I wake up above 200 and I'm on my game, I say, nope, gonna fast today.
Discipline, big guy, you got to pick a number and just don't eat until you get to that number.
I'm not going to eat for like 3 years then.
No, you
Dustin Sweetelson.
You got to reset, Patrick, because the number has to go a little bit lower. So every week you got to lower the number by 3 pounds. So that's like,
you know, there is a little bit of bitterness. Like Fez is always writing me to tell you how great you are, which is true. And I'm always like, Steve, you don't think I love that guy? I mean, what are you talking about here? But anyway, one thing that you've never admitted to him is that he's making you bitter because he writes you all the time about how great JVT looks, and you're like, you get mad at Steve when he does that.
Yeah, because look, JVT does look great. I mean, he's killing it. We're both losing weight here. I mean, me a little bit slower lately, but we're still losing weight. Things are going well, but I just want to remind Steve that I actually won the first weigh-in, and JVT lost 18 pounds, so I had a pretty good head start.
Well, I have some possible good and bad news for you. Which would you like?
I'll take both.
All right, I'll give you both. So the good news is that JVT is, I'm on the outs now with JVT. I thought JVT was looking good, looking sharp and the like. However, Patrick, at Bet Bash, I saw none other than Jared Smith. Jared Smith, I tell you what, if you don't have a man crush on Jared Smith, something is
I think Jared Smith has a man crush on Jared
with
Smith.
You. As Jared Smith, quite possibly the only part of his body that you could have any question is, it's true as his above the neck, he may have gotten slightly larger, but the rest of him is like a transformation of epic proportions. Jared Smith, I think, is sub 185. He looks like he's ready to run a marathon. So, dude, I mean, like, I'm like, I tell you what, don't bet against that guy in any weight loss challenge. He is styling.
I'm going to leave that alone. Dustin, you got anything?
I saw you chasing him on Fremont Street, trying to tackle him when he had the football, and he did look svelte. He was moving around pretty well.
All I know is that I picked the wrong guy to do a video in terms of fitness, because everyone's like, that poor old Fezzik, he can barely move. And I tell you, I play Gilead tennis tomorrow, and just based upon how slow I was in that video, the money is pouring in on Gil Alexander tomorrow in her tennis match.
All right. Well, he is professional better. Steve Fezzik sitting next to his rival. Because Dustin's passive, he would never admit. And when he tells me that Steve is trolling me with JVT, I said, Steve is probably trying to motivate you. And then he just gets mad and we change the subject. Anywho, not that it's awkward between the two of you now.
Sorry, JVT.
Let's try it again.
Sorry, JVT.
Let's discuss why, if you're a lifetime loser betting sports, you actually are unique.
We're going through
unique,
it.
Hold on. Uniquely qualified to make tons of money fairly, effortlessly, immediately. There's the question, now the answer, Fez.
When I was trying to get jobs, that was my go-to phrase on my resume. I'm uniquely qualified to write uniquely qualified. It's getting harder and harder. Kenny talked about all the places that are booting him instead of using his information when he's betting. So here's what you do. If you've been a sports bettor and you haven't had much luck, instead of working your butt off to try to become a winning sports bettor, which is going to be very difficult because whatever you've been doing hasn't been working, you put a call into Keddy White, or put a call into my friend the Crack Man, or the Hitman, or any one of these numerous people. Get a hold of Patrick or Dustin. He'll get a hold of me. I'll hook you up with these guys. And here, how good is this? Just say, you know what? What I'm doing's not working. I have all these accounts where I'm labeled, you know, good gambler, responsible gambler definition, sucker better. And they're taking big limits from me. And then just have somebody else, you know, direct you on what to wager and become partners with them and take a free roll on that account. And you will undoubtedly make money. And bottom line, you can't lose, because every one of these guys is going to give you a free roll, or they'll give you a percentage of the wins without any of the losses. Check with your lawyer to make sure all this is legal, of course. But I know that this is becoming commonplace and going on throughout the country.
Well, there are a couple of things there. I don't think I was kissing his ass, because I know you and you do the same thing. The amount of work, if you're going to decide to do this for a living, that goes into it, it's not just wake up, look at the board, and just chase steam, or the opposite. It's wake up and to start grinding, going through. He's going through each individual player on every college football team that's FBS and FCS. Like, you know, to be a profitable bettor, how much work goes into it.
What a contrast. And there's dozens of different methods that work. So Kenny, it does the job with each and every player. I'm much more on a macro level. As an example, so I get up. I sleep through a podcast I was supposed to do at 5:30. I'm sorry, Ross. I got up eventually. 6:30, I'm taking my son to school. What's this? Oh, I missed a podcast. And then I glance at the week 2 preseason totals. What's this? They're all being dealt 33-37. Well, I know nothing, Patrick, about totals and about which the quarterback rotations yet on these teams. But I know this. Week 2 of preseason is higher scoring than week 1. And I know you can't, in no world, can you be dealing the average total 35 on all these totals. And so I start frantically sending out texts to people and betting myself, you know, getting down across the board on every over. And within 20 minutes, all of these overs are getting compromised and the steam is flying in. And I finally get around to actually doing my homework. I looked it up last year, week 2 preseason. There were half the games scored 40-plus points. All right? one quarter of the games, four of the games went 32 points or below, and one quarter of the games landed 36 to 39. So clearly, well, we have a point of demarcation here. I would expect at least half the games are going to hit 40 again with the new kickoff rules, which is going to increase scoring, I estimate, by 1.5 points. And there wasn't one total that was even close to 40 when I woke up, so I bombed all the overs. You know, if I still had to play, I mean, you can put me down for these three. The three highest totals on the board, Giants-Texans over 39.5, Lions-Chiefs over 39, Packers-Broncos over 39. Like I said, half the games went 40 or over last year in the same situation. Now we got better kickoff rules. I know teams are scrimmaging against each other. That's bad for overs. There's no doubt about that. But the bottom line is I think all three of those will close north of 40. Let's get in on the over 39s before they move.
That's a great look at how pros, different strokes, different folks. Great breakdown, Fez. We've got questions for you coming back. They're coming in, sharpmoney@vsin.com. Quickly, why Circa Survivor is actually a negative expectation versus playing millions?
So this is subtle. There's guarantees put out there, and some people inevitably will sleep in, like I did this morning, and they won't get their picks in. So there's, even if there's not an overlay from Circa, in terms of their guarantees, there'll be an overlay from people just forgetting to put in their picks. Further, I expect there will be an overlay in millions. But now here, there's one small problem that no one talks about. And the problem is Kansas City plays Baltimore on Thursday night. Now, Kansas City just lost a wide receiver, so they were -3. Maybe they're going to be a -2.5, -2.6. They're a modest favorite. But there are some people that want to survive to week 2, and they'll do everything humanly possible to do so. Well, the Friday night game is a pick'em game. Philly's a modest favorite. But Kansas City's the clear favorite. So I would anticipate about 7%, no more, about maybe 5 to 7% of the field. They're going to load up on Kansas City, and they'll go all in. They'll pick Kansas City to go ahead and win week 1 in Survivor. Not many people, if any, will take Baltimore. Now, if Kansas City loses, then they can re-up. They can re-enter. That's within the rules. And then they can play more entries and play again. So what's going to happen if Kansas City wins right off the bat? You're behind the eight ball. You've got like 7% of the field's going to be 1-0. I'm 0-0. That's a negative EV situation. That's a negative rake on me. And I'm not that excited about Survivor. I know this sounds subtle because I have to survive all 20 weeks, but it's material nevertheless, and thus because of it. But should Kansas City lose, Dustin, my man, you and I are going to become partners in Survivor. Patrick, you and I are going to become partners. My wife
oh,
and
thank
I,
you.
We are. I will be unloading on extra Survivor picks because now I'll get an overlay from people not putting in their picks and an overlay from everyone that lost on Kansas City week 1.
Are we in front of Jared?
Oops. Jared and Dustin, I just throw out numbers. Yeah.
Ask a Pro with Fez coming up next. Okay, ask a professional better every Monday here on Sharp Money. You can email sharpmoney@vsin.com. Just quickly, the S show, that is the Jets, continues. So Hassan Reddick announced that he wants a trade, and the Jets just released an official statement that they're not going to trade him. So that continues as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from L.A. Of course, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D with professional better Steve Fezzik. We were talking about some of our all-time favorites in a different industry during the break, so we'll leave that alone. It's now time to get to your questions. Now, the way this works is Fezzik doesn't know the questions because it's better that way. His brain works with rapidity. So he gets the questions, he answers them. Let's go, Dustin.
All right, first one up here is from Eric Bonnet. Eric says, how would you use teasers in the preseason NFL market? Still just one wonder teasers, or is there more nuance? I think it means Wong teasers. Still just Wong teasers, or is there more nuance in the preseason?
Yeah, if you've got a book that takes it, remember, we're looking for a 6-point teaser and -120, and if we get a loss and a tie or a win and a tie, we want our money back. We don't want ties lose. So same thing, Wong teasers. So what do we mean by that? We're going to tease a +2. And when I say +2, it's ±0.5. So +1.5, +2, +2.5. So +2 up to +8. Or we're going to take -8, which is rare, but it may happen this week, -8 down to -2. So we're teasing through the corridor of 3 through 7, capturing those key numbers. The ones worrisome part about teasing in the preseason, when you're teasing a favorite down, teams can tie. There's no overtime. So I do think that the -7.5 and the -8 point favorites, teasing those teams down to -1.5 or -2 is more dangerous. Maybe you should avoid it because you'll see situations where teams go for two also. So if you have a situation, teams up 7 and they're laying 7 and you tease them, down to -1, boom, the other team scores. You're not going to steal it in overtime because that team's going to go for two at the end of the game.
Great question. Again, who was that, Dustin? Tremendous question and answer.
That was from Eric Bonnet.
Thank you, Eric.
Eric
appreciate
with a K.
It. Great question.
Eric with a K.
Next up.
All right, Jesse writes in, what does Steve think about laddering bets on props? We all know his instinctual response will be just bet the baseline prop that's at -115 because it's mathematically more profitable in the long run. However, I do wonder if these big sports books who are offering huge ladder opportunities might be something to delve into. I'd love to know if he's looked into it.
Yeah, no, great question. So laddering, obviously, instead of just doing our baseline bet, we're going to go ahead and play it all over the board. So example, in the Olympic finals, you get word, this bad example because it wouldn't have worked. So Kevin Durant is going to suddenly be in the starting lineup, and his over-under is 14.5. So you play the over 14.5, -110, and you're like, let me do some ladders here. I've got good information. I want to get more down. So maybe you play him over 15.5. And then you get +125, and you play over 17.5, maybe you get +165. Like I said, bad example because he landed on 15. But the idea is that if you're really right on something, it's a way for you to shove more of your chips in and get super high payout. So I'm not adverse to the laddering. My friends over at unabated.com will be able to tell you exactly how much one extra assist or one extra
sure.
point is worth, and whether you're getting robbed blind with all these numbers or whether you're getting a fair market price. So I'd encourage you to go to Unabated, Captain Jack Andrews, and that group, and they will steer you in terms of whether you're taking the worst of it or if you're getting fair value.
What I like about it is the emailer knows he answered Steve's question by answering Steve's question and then hoped that Steve would give him, and he did. He elucidated. He said, yeah, he's not adverse to the ladder bets, so we like to see that. Go to Unabated for real value. Now, Dustin, another one.
Craig Stumpson writes in, Steve, I want to enter Circa Millions and try for the booby prize. For those that don't know, the booby prize is if you have the worst win-loss record. Is picking losers easier than picking winners, he wants to know.
No, it's exactly the same. I love these easy questions. So, you know, listen, if you're going to win the booby prize, okay, at the typically the winner, let's say the winner hits 75%. The booby prize winner usually loses at a 72% rate or something, you know, comparable to that because they start 1-9, right? And then like, well, may as well change gears and go ahead and start picking. Now I'm going to take the teams I think are going to win and pick them to lose. But inevitably, if you start too early, you realize, oh, I won 100,000 playing the booby prize. But you know what? Not only would I have finished 14th and won that 90,000 or 100,000 anyways, but I also would have won a quarterly prize along the way, and I just donked off 200,000 by chasing this small booby prize. The bottom line is that the prize pool, I don't know what it is. It's like 98% of the money is going towards the people who do well and in the quarterly prizes. Absent the quarterly prizes, it would be fine. So if you're out of it for any quarterly, then in the fourth quarter, maybe then you could go ahead and turn around and go booby. But before then, it really is rarely correct. And most people make a poor choice, and one, and you know, Gilly's friend Joe Pita, some really smart guy, I think went for the booby prize way too early, but he got rewarded for it and wound up boobying and winning. But I would not recommend it to most people.
Do we know how many entries there were last year? And so I'm guessing millions is going to go up exponentially every single year, right?
I think there was 5,500 in millions from memory, somewhere around there. And I don't think they quite made, I think there was an overlay. Survivor, I think they were guaranteeing 10 million, this is from memory, and they went and they soared over. You know what, Survivor's going to go up to 15 million. It's just gotten out of control. So there's no chance you're going to have an overlay from just the entries. It is so popular. One of the big reasons Survivor's so popular, think about a poker tournament. Like it's day 4 of the World Series of Poker. How you doing? I'm alive and I have the chip lead. Well, everyone has the chip lead in Survivor. Everyone is tied for first, and that is very powerful because in millions, you may be doing pretty well picking 63%. You're still in 88th place. You can't get that excited about it, and that's the beauty of Survivor. Until you're out, you are the chip leader.
Over 9,000 were in Survivor. I'll find millions somewhere.
Okay. I asked late for requests as far as questions. Is that it for us today? Sharpmoney@VSiN.com?
No, Bill writes in sharpmoney@VSiN.com. Is it sharp or stupid to stock my portfolio with futures on one NFL team, pushing all my chips into the center on Super Bowl, MVP, and other awards?
I'd say it's not sharp. I would say where it is sharp is when you get breaking news on the positive or the negative. Let's face it, if Andrew Luck retires, it's probably a good idea to bet the Indianapolis Colts, true story, under 10, and bet the Colts not to make the playoffs, and bet the Colts not to win the division, and bet the other guys to win the division, and bet everyone within their division to win over 2.5 division games. You get the idea. You can wind up with a huge portfolio with information like that. To use an example, we didn't think that Bo Nix could play in the NFL, and now we've got to rethink that. He looked very good. Small sample size, but keep in mind, I had a sample size of 0 on Bo Nix in the NFL. Now I have a sample size of 1. That is a much bigger sample to draw a conclusion from. I think you have to upgrade the Denver Broncos immediately. If you're thinking about playing the Broncos over their 5.5 season win total, you probably want to do that, and you probably want to play any Bo Nix futures and the like. Will he start week 1? It's much more likely now based upon a 1-game sample.
So, Steve, you heard earlier the little bet that we're having, 6.5 win. And we didn't mess with the juice, to be fair, but 6.5 on the win totals this year and less. So the boys were giving me a hard time because I like the Commanders this year. You were at the gym, so I'm going to let you know. Mike Somich selected, I selected the Commanders, obviously. Somich selected the Las Vegas Raiders, and Dustin selected the Carolina Panthers.
I love that Dustin didn't just take a 6.5. But further, I'm thrilled nobody played the game and said, oh, I'm going to take the Vikings in Arizona over, which their season win numbers adjusted for vigor are north of 7 now. So I love that Dustin took Carol. You're going to lose, but I love you didn't just look. So Somich, super smart guy. He's like, the Raiders are 6.65. You know, there's 6.5s out there. I'm no problem with Somich grabbing the Raiders over 6.5. But he's like playing the game. He's taken the best 6.5 team that's available to go ahead and use. So it's the correct answer. It's like the SAT. That's the correct answer, the SAT. But what we've got here is Dustin showing like cleverness to like take a team lined at 5.5. I don't think Young can play a lick, so I think you're going to lose, but I like the initiative there.
I would say...
Now, hold on, Dustin, before you answer. See, now this is what we've talked about when Steve isn't here. He doesn't like your bet. He complimented you.
Yes.
Complimented Somich. What did he say about me?
Oh, no thought.
Nothing.
Well, you didn't...
He literally complimented you while saying you're going to lose, and then mine was just left out there hanging. I'm letting people know.
Patrick,
I'm letting people know.
Patrick, you are sick, so let me do the talking. Nobody comes up with more clever stuff than Patrick.
No, we're not playing that game.
No one else is
we're
like,
not playing that
we
game.
Got to pick. People are like, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to win the MVP? No, Patrick Maher tells you what is the best 6.5 win line team in the NFL that's so clever and taking it to a next level. Dustin takes a 5.5 team. I love it.
But Patrick didn't have a he asked who made the best choice. He didn't make a choice. He created the contest behind the fact that he thinks the Commanders are good. So there was no choice.
I just want to repeat. He said, you're going to lose, and then went on to say why it was a great pick. What planet? Fezzik, you're the best. We'll see you next week.
Great.
We're coming back with the family plays. 'Kay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We welcome you back. Thank you to Steve Fezzik for stopping by. Remember, if you have questions for Fezzik next week on Monday, it's sharpmoney@vsin.com. Dustin Sweetelson at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Let's get to our family plays, because I do think we have 3 of them. So again, the objective every day, give you as many plays as possible. And feel free to start wherever you'd like, big guy. I'm losing steam.
Yeah, let's go with our guy, John Bowman, former Blue Jay scout, at JohnBowman11 on Twitter. You can find all the information for Baseball with Bowman. And here he is with his Sharp Money family play today.
Sharp Money, family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? John Bowman here from Baseball with Bowman, and I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play of the day. We're going to go with the Giants on the money line, minus 105 against the Braves. Blake Snell against Chris Sale. Blake Snell has figured it out. He's been pitching unbelievable lately. Chris Sale has been good all season, but the Giants have been hitting lefties really well. They're ranked top 10 in weighted on base average against lefties since the All-Star break, while the Braves are ranked just 23rd. The Giants also have a top 10 bullpen since the break, while the Braves have not been pitching well. The Giants are also 7-2 at home since the All-Star break. They've been playing well overall, while the Braves are 8-14. They've been one of the worst teams in the league since the All-Star break. So I really like the Giants on the money line here at home. They have the advantage in just about every aspect, and the Braves have lost 7 of their last 8 games.
Okay, so Bowman likes the Giants. Our buddy Jim earlier from FanDuel liked the Giants. Kenny White liked the Braves, so something's got to give there.
And I like the Braves, so we're split on this. Although, did you see how the Braves lost yesterday, Patrick?
I did not.
In Colorado, they were up, 6-7, 8-2. They allowed 7 runs in the 8th inning and lost on the getaway day to Colorado. They've been gross. Been really bad post All-Star break. I'm not sure I'm buying the Blake Snell has returned to form thing. He faced Washington, Cincinnati, and Colorado in back-to-back starts. And I'm just thinking it's a bounce-back price you're getting on the Atlanta Braves today. I got minus 105 on them. So I backed Atlanta. I'm with Kenny White, but the show is split, unfortunately.
All right, there it is. Baseball with Bowman. Thank you, John. Who's up next?
Tyler Shoemaker. You know him, VSiN.com. He has the T-Shoe Index. He's also as sharp as it comes when it comes to the WNBA. WNBA. And here he is with the Sharp Money Family Play in Chicago v. Phoenix.
Hey. What's up, Sharp Money? It's Tyler Shoemaker from VSiN.com. I've got a WNBA best bet for Thursday, August 15th. I'm going to take the Chicago Sky +3 against the Phoenix Mercury. The Mercury have several players coming back from the Olympics, Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, Kalia Copper. I think there's going to be a fatigue factor here for the Mercury. And on the flip side, I think the Sky, I think Angel Reese, Kennedy Carter, some of these Olympic team snubs are going to play with a chip on their shoulder against those Olympic team players. I also only project the Mercury by about a half a point in this game. So I like the number. I like the situational spot for the Sky. I'm going to take the Sky +3.
Okay, nobody sharper when it comes to WNBA, WNBA, than our buddy Tyler Shoemaker. You can find his handicaps over at vsin.com. Thank you to Tyler.
Little diversity here with the next family play. We're not just this traditional team sports show. We're now mixing in a little bit of tennis. We're going to go to our guy out in Arizona, Zachary Cohen, vsin.com. He's writing up baseball. He's writing up basketball. He's writing up tennis. And here's what he's got in Montreal in this tennis match. Zachary Cohen, Sharp Money Family Play.
Sharp Money, this is Zachary Cohen with a family play for you. For tonight, I like Alexei Popyrin +1.5 sets against Andre Rublev in the final in Montreal. It's a big tournament, a Masters 1000 event. Not quite a Grand Slam, but right there with it. I think that Popyrin's serve is a little too big to just rule out the possibility of him winning a set in this match. He's going to force, you know, at least 7-5 or 7-6 in most of the sets that they play. And I just trust him to come away with a set if he does get himself deep in them. He did beat Rublev 6-4 when they played in Madrid a few months ago. That was a clay court tournament, which actually should have favored Rublev quite a bit. So, you know, moving back to hard courts in Montreal, I think this is a really good situation for Popyrin, who's played really well all week. Rublev has too, but I just think this is going to be a closer match than the odds makers think. Rublev probably gets across the finish line, but I don't think he does so without getting in trouble. So make sure you take that one. It's tonight. I'm going to have some more tennis picks over at vsin.com all throughout the week.
Yeah, Zach does a great job over at vsin.com, not just with tennis, but he is super sharp when it comes to tennis. So if you missed that play or any other play given out throughout the program today, they're part of the best bets. And our best bets are wrapped up in our brand new deal, which is 3 years, $350. So 75% off for 3 years, kind of set it and forget it. And again, this is it. This is the last day. It's already 2:50 my time, 5:50 your time on the East Coast. So again, vsin.com/special to sign up for this unique opportunity and subscribe at vsin.com if you're already a pro and you'd like to upgrade to the 3 years. All right, so there you have it. Couple things. One, just so you know, Dustin.
Yes.
My wing of the Sports Betting Hall of Fame in Hermosa Beach is already underway as far as construction.
Oh.
And I want to let you know, you're on the ballot.
Oh!
Now, whether or not, now the committee is still talking it over, but it does appear that you've made the ballot. It's been 5 years since you started sports betting, and so you are on the ballot. Fezzik's going to be the first inducted. Hold on. Who else am I supposed to induct? Rufus Peabody and Alan Boston, and we'll see if you make the class of 2025. That's how long it's going to take to construct.
Couple corrections. It's been about 7 years. First bet placed was a Thursday night football game between Georgia Tech running the triple option against, I think they were defending champion Clemson. I bet like Georgia Tech plus like 14. I think they lost by 50. So that was the first bet I ever placed, thanks to you ruining my life. The second thing I would say is I deserve to be in that Hall of Fame because I have more tickets that people congratulate me on that don't actually cash. I feel like I'm that person. Washington 40-1 last year to win the national championship. They did not. TCU 2 years ago, 80-1, did not. While you were out, I had Francisco Lindor 60-1. 2 days after I bet it, it became 10-1. You would have thought the messages I was getting, the bet had cashed and the money was in my account already. So I am a Hall of Famer at great tickets that don't actually win.
That was an interesting tour de force of passive-aggressive propping yourself up while taking yourself down at the same time.
Well, it was more of a knock of the industry where like everyone loves the backslap. I got the best number, but did it win? No, it didn't. What are we doing?
Well, don't knock the industry because we're going to have the West Coast Sports Betting Hall of Fame, and you and Jared are both on the ballot.
That's fair.
Now, remember, if you and Jared Smith don't make it into the Hall of Fame this year, in 2025, 2026 is on the horizon.
Okay, I will be 41. So, quite a thought.
Be pretty young to be inducted into a Hall of Fame.
In some regards.
Let's close tabs before we get out of here.
Yeah, you just said the phrase, set it and forget it, Patrick. That originates from a great infomercial from the 90s, early 2000s. Ronco, that's Emerald. That's just a Food Network show. Ronco Rotisseries have been providing delicious, healthy snacks to families since 1998. It was literally a home rotisserie. The chickens would rotate, and then they would show you all these different things you could do. I begged my parents to buy this for me when I was like 13, and they're like, you don't even know how to cook. We're not buying you rotisserie. Anyway, that's where that phrase comes from.
I have one of those. It's called an air fryer.
Yeah, exactly.
You just open up the thing, you put it in, you push chicken, you push play, and then it tells you when it's done. It's crispy. It's perfection.
All right, next one here, Patrick.
Is that the same as Bobby, the guy that died? Bobby...
Not Flay.
With the tape.
ShamWow.
Remember the guy that was like, "You got to get this tape."
Oh, Flex Seal. Billy Mays
here.
Different thing. 4.7 magnitude earthquake today in LA. You survived it. The biggest earthquake ever, 1960 in Chile, was 9.5. So we're talking double that. Could you imagine sitting through double that?
I'm not trying to be dramatic, but if today was a 4.6, I don't want to sniff a 5.6.
No.
God or Mother Nature, whoever was trifling with messing with me today, you can have that. You could shove it.
On this day in 1991, Metallica released its fifth album called Metallica. It debuted at number one. Where does that album stand for you in Metallica lore?
Injustice for All, one. Ride the Lightning 2, Master of Puppets 3, Kill 'Em All 4.
Oh, wow.
Metallica 5.
Wow. So it's not even like it's top
actually,
five.
Actually, I'd probably go Injustice, Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Master, Metallica. It's five.
You always have strong music takes.
Thanks, buddy.
Real quick, Steve promoted a website called Unabated. I abated before the show. Also, Kenny White and Steve Fezzik get banned from sports books. The only place I've ever gotten banned from was Golden Corral.
Is that a strip club?
No, it's a buffet.
Oh, it's like off the expressway?
Yeah.
Like the kitchen?
Every exit has one.
It's a good job by you. Thank you to everybody Larry, welcome back, Larry. And thank you to everybody in the closet there. Great show, big guy. We'll see you tomorrow right here. Sharp Money. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.